Tom Albers, staying in touch with you and your money through these difficult and changing times. Edward Jones, making sense of investing.
Bernie, in the middle, and intercepted. Tejada, down the sideline. And pushed out of bounds.
This segment with former Baylor defensive coordinator Phil Bennett is sponsored by the Nitsche Group Insurance Company, where clients are more than just a policy number. See why thousands of Texans trust the Nitsche Group with their home, auto benefits, and commercial insurance coverage. Call their Waco office to speak with an expert at 254-420-3900 or visit them online at tnginsinc.com. Now, here's David Smoak, Paul Catalina, and Craig Smoak.
Well, you know, you see the graphic at the bottom of the page, Phil Bennett, North Texas defensive coordinator. We had a buyout clause that obviously was not enough.
Yeah.
Everyone had kind of forgotten about the fact he's a hell of a football coach and was a great analyst, but apparently we did not do enough to keep him. Hey, hold on, just before we get to Phil Bennett, do you have it, Armstrong? Here we go.
Oh, you guys are too much.
Congratulations, damn it. Really, I mean, when did this start happening?
I'm going to tell you something. I coach Seth at Oklahoma. And, you know, I have a lot of people call me, and they ask me things. I try to help young coaches. And he called me, and he said, "Coach, give me some guys." And I sat down. I said, "Here's what you've got to do." And I sort of went through a deal. How to approach it, what to do, and I didn't know it, but his AD was in there. And the next day, I gave him some names. I said, "These people are sound." I said, "You guys have an issue of being sound. You can't win." And they ran the same type of offense that Art does, and they were scoring 38 points a game and giving up 40. So the next day, I'm outside on my patio, and I'm doing some stuff, and my phone hit, and it says, "Coach, have you got a minute to talk if I call you?" I said, "Yeah." So I called him, and he said, "Coach, we were sort of talking what you're talking about," and then he goes, "Ren wants to say something." Seth said, "Coach, what will it take to get you out of retirement?" And I started, I've turned down jobs every year. I mean, jobs that were, all of them were out of state. Pac-12, SEC, and I said, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "No." He said, "After listening to you yesterday, the plan and what we needed to play defense with this offense," he said, "I told Ren, you're the guy. We're talking to the guy that can help us." And I was flattered at first, and I started thinking about it, and sort of got my heart pumping, and I'm not sure I would do it for anybody else other than Seth. I think North Texas, you know, what he's doing offensively, I was able, you know, I'm going to be able to hire people that have worked with me before. And I gave them a list of things, and they did it. I told them when I'm not in season, I want to be at home. And he was very accommodating. I have other things going on. I do. I think I can help him. I think I can help him, you know, get that program back on track.
So Mondays at 5, you're not allowed to recruit, you're not allowed to coach, and you're not allowed to do anything else but remain with us on this show. But
we might be able to do some guest spots.
There we go. We're going to do some guest spots, but we're thrilled for you. I mean, I saw that come out. I was like, wow, that's awesome.
I'm going to tell you, it was so fast. And I wanted Julie to be a part of it. And I wasn't, as I told you, I flew up to Oregon. I went to different places and I couldn't bring anybody and it was out of state. And this is Texas. And it's 3 hours door to door, from my home here and a little bit further than Waco was. And it's very similar. You know, my last three jobs, I went to Pitt. And they hadn't had a winning season. And Dave told me, if we don't win, we're fired. Well, we ended up you know, lo and behold, winning nine, winning 10, and winning nine. You know, came to Baylor, and Art told me, he said, you know, we've got to get this thing going. He said, it will play better defense or we're not going to make it. And, you know, that turned out pretty good with history. And then lo and behold, I go to Arizona State, and they were 4-8, and we end up having we're second in the west of the division. We win 8 games, and so I've been fortunate, and I think we can do that at North Texas.
Phil, when it comes to coaching with someone you've played for, what's that like at this point, or that played for you? What's that like?
Well, you know, I told him, I said, we talked a little bit, and I just cut him off after. I said, listen, here's what I'll do. I said, I have an interest. And I'm old. I'm not going to make irrational decision. I said, I'm a face-to-face guy. I said, I'm going to drive up tomorrow. I said, I'm going to give you a list of things, very similar like I did with Art. And I said, if those things and I feel good about the face-to-face, then this could be possible. And so they said, that's fine. And that's what I did. You know, Ren Baker is a very impressive guy. He had worked actually for Mac Rose. And, you know, he told me, it's funny, he said, I just want to tell you, he said, you know, I talked to Mac Rose, and he goes, Mac was very, you know, highly, and said that, you know, said he was very nice. He said some very good things. And I said, well, I told him, I said, well, I want to tell you something. I said, I'm pleased with that. I said, because Mac and I had very upfront, man-to-man discussions, and he did a great job dealing with 10 butthurt coaches, you know, during that 16 season, which I wouldn't want anybody to have to do that job. So, and I visited with him, and I got his vision for what he saw as problems, what needed to be fixed. And I told Seth, I said, Seth, I'm here to help you. You know, I've done this so many generations, and Seth is such a wonderful person. From the time he was a freshman at OU, he just draws people to him. And he is a football guy, and he is an offensive guy. And he needed a guy that could give him some balance over there and no drama and just, you know. And I told him, I said, I want you to know, I want to help you. And I said, I'm never going to call you out. Or I said, but if I think something will help the program, I'll walk in your office. I just want your time. A few minutes, and I said, I'm not going to be a guy coming in there every day. And I think he appreciated that.
Coach, it's been 3 seasons since your last gig at Arizona State. I know you already knew a lot, you know, over time, but what do you think you've learned most in these last 3 years being away from coaching?
Well, a couple of things. I think that old saying, you sugar works better than salt. Mm-hmm. You know, I've probably mellowed a little bit. I'm a little bit more sensitive to I'm an energy guy. I mean, it's been crazy. I've been in my attic since I got home pulling out all my stuff. And, you know, I never quit coaching the game. Every game I watch, I coach. And I used to tell my brother Jerry, who Smokey knows, I said, Jerry, it's amazing how smart I've gotten the last 3 years. And you sit there, and it's easy to second guess, but when it all came about, you know, and somebody asked me, well, why didn't you go to a bigger school? You know, it's not about that to me. It's about helping a guy that I love. I think, and I'm gonna tell you something. North Texas has a commitment right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're committed to winning. And I think with that offense, you know, I know at Baylor, we were so good on offense. And we really, I used to tell the kids, I told Smokey this, come up with things to motivate them, you know, because I knew that with Robert, with, you know, all the people, the quarterback, Nick, that we had, that we were sort of going to play second fiddle. But our kids learned that we were really good. And, you know, I told people, it's not about total yards anymore. We created a new thing. It was yards per snap. And, you know, very few people don't realize this, but Baylor from 2013 to 2016 was only one of 4 teams that I think I told David this before, that yards per snap and points per possession was in the top 10. You know, and we were the only Big 12 team. And there was only five teams, us, Michigan State, I think Ohio State, Clemson, and one other that gave up less than 5 point yards a snap, which we're seeing now in the SEC, you know, with people spreading it. That's not easy. And so we were a major contributor to our success at Baylor, and I had to get the kids to feel good about that. And Art did a great job of buying into it. And I think we can do that there, you know, at North Texas.
Do you think, speaking of which, of that, the goal line stand against Kansas State and what turned out to be a blowout win, but that was a big moment against them, and that was a big moment for your football team defensively as well. Were those kind of the moments, the ones that made you as proud as anything else?
You know, I did a guy I know is doing a documentary of what was going on at Baylor, and he asked me my favorite team. And I mean this with all my heart. I loved all of them because it evolved. But my first two years there, I mean, when I got there, I didn't think – I mean, and those kids bought in with everything they had. We weren't as talented as we needed to be. I mean, I can still remember Elliott Coffey playing with a shoulder. He had no business playing. Mike Hicks, Tracy Robinson, Bab Peace. Moving Chris, Chris McAllister wanted to kick my ass when I told him he was a defensive end. He became a unanimous two-time all-conference player. Sam Hall, you know, Ahmad Dixon. I mean, those kids, we developed, you know, I tell the story of KJ and Joe and Meats coming in. You know, we went just like I'm going to do there. We're going to go on a search. And we weren't – I'm not saying that we were dominant by any means, but we found a way that first year, David. I mean, it was close to miraculous that we got enough stops to win 10 games. And if you remember, we got better and better. We started in the 2012 team, you know, we started good, and then we had a rash of injuries. Before the West Virginia game, I made a stupid decision on personnel to do something, and it didn't work, and it was and I called a lousy game. Then we came back, we lost to Iowa State, and we just kept telling the kids, keep the belief. And all of a sudden, Cholo, Mike Hicks, comes back, and he's directing the back end. I had set Hager because he played so poorly against Texas. I told him, I said, you don't want to play. You just don't want to play. And I think his mother, Bridget, would tell you she was ready to kill me. His dad had to keep her from coming to Waco to kill me. And I will never forget this. He comes in my office one day and he's, Coach, you're right. Please give me a chance. And I put him back in the game. We played Oklahoma. They beat us, but we played good. And then the next thing, we finished with five straight wins. And I told you after that holiday bowl, what I tell you, I said, we will win the Big 12 next year. Yep. And we did.
So those
2 years were years I wouldn't take from anything. I mean, and were they perfect? No, but just, and you know, I'll never forget, you know, just the humbleness of those kids and the belief that they gave us.
Who's worse, having an angry mom at you or Britt Hager, the former all-conference? Hey,
you know, I tell you how old I am. I recruited Britt. and Britt, hey, she's a lot prettier than him. You know what's funny?
Yeah.
You know what's funny? After we got past that, you know, Eddie Lackey got better. And then it started rolling. And I laughed. And it's crazy. But we started getting our kids in there. Kids we evaluated, you know, the Taylor Youngs and you know, the Smith and the Bo Blackshear, all those guys, Trevor Bell, all these guys were starting to get in the mix, and it just really took off. And you know what? We started having expectancy on defense. Hey, you know what? And they would ask, Coach, what was our yards per snap? What was our points per possession? How many takeaways? How many three and outs did we have? And, you know, that was the key. That we're playing with this offense, we knew we were going to play. I think I'm right on this. From those years, my 6 years there, we averaged over 16 possessions a game. I think it was the most of anybody in college football during that time. So you're going to play a lot of snaps because we either scored fast or we gave them the ball fast. We usually scored. And that's a little bit exactly what Seth does. And I think I've sort of got a feel for that. I mean, it took me a little bit to learn. And you know, the takeaways, you know, the last year at 16, we were number one in pass efficiency defense with a very young group, the group that won, that got to the Big 12 championship last year. You know, Casey Horney tells me the story of Tom Herman after the game where Baylor last year smokes them. And he said, Casey, where in the hell did they get those kids? He goes, we recruited them. Y'all didn't offer one of them. You know, Graylin Allen's sister was an all-conference basketball player there. They didn't want him. You know, Chris Miller, Henry Black, you can go on and on. All of them were guys that, you know, our linebacker from Paris. All those kids, none of them were offered at Texas. Our nose guard, you know, out of Houston, that's with the Matt up there. I mean, it was crazy, you know, how it all evolved.
Phil Bennett is our guest on Sikkim 365 Radio.
How much have you gotten by being out of the coaching game for the last 3 years? Gotten to watch a lot more schemes and things you wouldn't normally get to see if you were in the rat race of coaching?
Oh, no question. I mean, I visited, I conferred with a lot of people. I don't think there's a doubt that I didn't learn things during that time. I stayed involved on my phone. I've got all the apps for the games. I get people, even pro games, guys that I've worked with. I've consulted with just a lot of people. You know, I go down regularly to Mary Harden Baylor with Pete Fredenberg, and we stay down there for hours to watch tape. And something that was pretty neat, my former coach and boss, R.C. Slocum, is on the committee, you know, the National Championship Committee. And every Monday, he gets every game in the country. So we sat over there and we critiqued everybody. I think, yeah, without question, I expect that I will be a better coach than what I was when I left. And you know, when I left, it wasn't because I wasn't really, you know, I had a neck surgery, a back surgery, and knee surgery. And lo and behold, as the good Lord would have it, I was able to be here when my wife's sister, who we had, who was mentally handicapped, when she got sick, I was able to be here with Julie, and she passed away. And then, unfortunately, 4 months later, her mother passed away. So the Lord was sort of looking after us, you know. And each time something came up, I knew if I had an interest or not. So I just sort of felt like this was something that fit me.
So, Coach, being in the pandemic era, you know, obviously things were different last year. They're opening up a bit this year. What's kind of – because I don't know what North Texas schedule is like with spring ball and all that. What's kind of like the first steps for you getting acclimated, getting to Denton, doing all of that? And what is the message that you'll send to your defensive players? What's the tone that you'll try to set from the outset?
Well, you know, the first thing is I'm going to go up there. And everywhere I've ever done, I've done this. I'm going to meet with every defensive kid face to face. You know, I want them to see a person. I don't want them to see just a coach. Mm-hmm. I want to know a little bit about them. I want to know a little bit. I want them to know about me. And then as a group, we're going to get together and I'm going to talk to them. I think that, I mean, in any leadership role, I mean, it's got to be a we thing. And obviously, you know, they've been scarred over the last two seasons. You know, before that, they played pretty good. They just had a rough go. And so the biggest thing I want to do is I want to let them know that I'm here to help them, that coaching is important. It's a we thing. And I'm going to put them in a position to be successful. And what I ask from you is I want all you got. If we're going to do this, let's do it together, and let's give everything we have for the team and to see where we can take this. And if and every day we're going to be practicing against the number one offense in Conference USA. And that's what I used to tell our kids. You're practicing against the best offense in the country. If we get where we can just come close to managing them, then great things are going to happen. And you know, it's always worked for me that, you know. And the other thing, I want them to know that you know what? That we're going to be there for them. I mean, it can't be a one-way street. And I've always said that. I might be, some people say, oh, he yells a lot, but they know that when it's over, that my care factor for them is way above the football factor.
Are you going to be able to bring anybody that has coached with you elsewhere on your staff? Is that, I know there's still the you know, you got human resources and all that, but I know you'd kind of give me a little bit of a hint.
Yeah, there'll be some familiar faces there. God been with me pretty much everywhere I've been. A couple of my former players, or one of my former players, I tell you what I did. I looked at it. I want a mixture of old and new. I want two good, you know, hustle, tough young guys, and then I want two steady veterans, and you know, possibly another one. I'm looking at the last one right now.
The word you're looking for is grizzled. You want grizzled?
Yeah. You know, and we all know when you stay in this thing as long as I have. I mean, I laugh how the game's evolved. I mean, it used to be the wishbone, then it was the run and shoot. You know, and then it went to the what's Leach's deal, what do they call it?
Air raid.
And now, then it went to Art deal, the no huddle and the spread, sideline. But I tell the kids, and it never changes, and I think I've told you this, David, many times, the first thing I want to put on every board, everywhere I've been, is knowledge is power. When you have knowledge, it empowers you. And in today's football, with my system, we're simple. We automatic a lot of things depending on what they do. And if you have the knowledge, every kid that's ever played for me at Baylor would tell you that we felt like we could defend anything you did. Now, sometimes, I mean, they're going to make plays. You can have it defended. They're going to make plays. But I will tell you that getting kids to believe in you and your system, and then most importantly, getting them to know that you believe in them. That's coaching. That's what you do.
Can you name any of those guys joining you on staff?
Well, I think we'll end up. I probably need to wait. One of them, obviously, that I was talking about was with me at Baylor would be Jim Goode. Jim's coming.
Yeah.
That's the plan. Still got to go through protocol.
Did Jim Goode have any idea when you called, like, hey, might be getting the band back together?
You know, let me tell you a story. I hired Jim Goode in 1983. John Fox and I were co-coordinators at Iowa State. Jim was our GA. Jim had been a great player in the Ivy League at Bucknell. Comes in, and he's a great coach. And I'll never forget this. My late wife and me had a brand new, like a Century Toyota, and Jim needed a job. And the defensive coordinator job was open at Garden City. And I told him, I said, take my car and just drop in. Tell the guy you were happening to be around and you just dropped in. And he did, and he got the job and became the head coach there and won a national championship. And we've been friends ever since, and he's a great coach. He knows what I want. He adds so much. He's a great recruiter. I mean, the high school coaches love him. He is opposite to me in a couple of different ways, but you don't want a bunch of the same of what you have. And he's a brilliant football coach.
You and I spoke a little bit late Monday. One more thing, Phil Bennett now, who will be the defensive coordinator at North Texas under Seth Luttrell. You mentioned Jim Goode, former Baylor linebacker. He was at Navarro, McNeese State, Kansas State, among others. Vic Valoria, new strength and conditioning coach at Baylor. Dave Aranda, yet one of the other changes of his staff. Hey. You know him.
The mullet. His name's not Vic, it's the mullet.
The mullet, okay.
He doesn't have one anymore.
Well, let me just tell you, it wasn't about hair.
Okay.
You ever seen those little mullet fish that look like are all head and they're just swimming around everywhere? Yeah. That's one. But I'm going to tell you something. I've coached some great players. Vic Valoria is in the top three or four.
Wow.
He would knock you out. I mean, I come from anyway. And that's what I told him. I said, you look like one of those little mullets running into a bunch of shad. I mean, he was, when I got there, he was there. And he told, and I knew of him, of course. And I'd been at LSU, and I knew John Curtis and all. And I'm telling you, what a guy. What a leader. What a football coach. Without a question, one of my all-time favorites.
Phil, do you understand, as we say goodbye, and we will have you on again because I'm going to demand that. I'll call Ren Baker soon. You, in this segment, when we had you on, starting back at the – we had you on, and then we had you on consistently. I want to say this, and I'm not saying this because I did not go to Baylor. I've covered the hell out of Baylor since 2010. Paul, well before that. Craig, a little bit after that. But I don't think you understand how much this segment has meant – to Baylor football or athletics or just fans in general of Baylor. And it all began because of your storytelling, but also when I told you, you used that term we a lot, which a lot of people could understand if you didn't after all that went down. But I don't think you understand the impact you had on a lot of people that love Baylor with this segment every week.
Well, I told you this before, and I mean it. To this point in my career, without question, Baylor has been – I had two daughters graduate from there, and everything wasn't right. But you know what? I can't live my life worrying about things I can't control. And I'm not a person. I'm not going to hold animosity to something that was so beautiful. Now, I look at every kid I ever coached at Baylor, and I just, you know, I just cannot not be a Baylor fan. Yeah, and that's just the way it is. And I'm very thankful for my time at Baylor. Very thankful. And I will tell you this. Art Briles will tell you the same thing. You know, a few people's action doesn't represent everybody. And I don't mind. As everybody knows, I'm not afraid to tell the truth on what – because what has been described and was described is not where I worked or where I lived. And you can say that to every player that's ever been there. But I have enjoyed this immensely. What you guys do for Baylor is outstanding. Not just Baylor, but your high school, what you do. I am tickled to death that this situation evolved for you guys with Sikkim 365. And it keeps everybody. I mean, sports is the equalizer of life. Mm-hmm. It keeps everybody, you know, positive. We're all on the same page. And I just think it's – you know, what would we have done this year without football?
No.
I mean, swear to goodness. I mean, I just sat there and I'm so thankful to all the coaches, all the administrators, everything. You know, I talked to Larry Fedora today and he is such a wonderful man. And he told me, he said, Phil, I'm pulling for Baylor. It just didn't work. And let me tell you something. In today's world, that's hard to do sometimes. But people know Baylor's a good, good place. And the ones that have been there, they know that. To you guys for having me.
No question about it. We love the segment. Have you bought your new gold shirt for the sideline? Is it going to be?
You know, I never knew we created a – but you know what? Their equipment guy, one of them has already called one of the guys. He goes, well, what does he want to wear? I said, well – gold hadn't been bad.
Yeah.
Maybe gold green, I guess.
Hey, man, appreciate everything you meant to us as well. Appreciate it. Good luck. We mean that, as you know, with the best of intentions and also with Seth Luttrell, Ren Baker, and Jim Gush. Man, we love Jim Gush. Thank you for your time, Coach. Congratulations from everybody.
Thank you, guys. It's been an honor to visit with you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Phil Bennett.
An ASPCA commercial.
Yeah, it is. It's like some dog
at
raining.
12:30 at night.
Yeah.
Well, that was sad.
Yeah.
But great. I'm happy for Phil Bennett. I'm happy that he's going to be back in coaching. It's clearly what he loves. It's clearly what he was cut out.
You know, I'm happy as far as those players in North Texas.
Yeah. Well, there's not all of them. Let me tell you something.
There's one.
And Ryan Stewart's contacting every one of them right now going, run. God bless you. Run.
I would think that one of the things he would say is like, do you like having your whole ass?
Yeah.
Because it's about to get chewed.
The first quote that he ever gave us when the day when we broke the story back in January of 11, on our way to the Texas, on our way to the College Football Coaches Association convention in Dallas, is when he said on the interview, like the next day or that day, we asked him about his style of defense. He said, we're going to blitz the hell out of him. He goes, the problem with the blitz is that somebody's band is going to play. Remember that? That was one of the first ones. And, of course, listen, there were times that defense was challenged, no question, but they turned it around. Two different Big 12 title. Everyone said, yeah, it was the offense. The defense had to get just good enough to be able to get some stops because it was a time when they didn't get many of those yet whatsoever. So Phil Bennett now, congratulations to what Ren Baker and Seth Luttrell get now at North Texas.
Yeah, Jordan Nichols from Connolly is on that roster, defensive back at UNT. He just got done with his freshman season, played a little bit, but that's the only Waco defensive player on their roster. And then Dazion Carroll from Midway is an offensive lineman for North Texas, about to head into his junior season. Phil won't, you know, I guess Phil will be going up against him quite a bit, but I was looking for some connections. So yeah, you do have the one with Connolly with and then Midway with Dazion Carroll, but Connolly with Jordan Carroll, I think is what I said. But yeah, I mean, that's great. It's or Jordan Nichols, gosh. I was thinking in watching Alabama and what Sarkisian was doing offensively and how well they were able to balance that and just how wide open that offense is that, you know, like I said earlier in the show, Phil Bennett's just a name that makes sense. If you're an offense like North Texas where you feel confident in scoring but you don't feel real confident in stopping, that was the problem at Baylor when Browse took over. You know, and the problem in these early years, they eventually got it settled out and had success and, you know, give Phil enough time, and I'm sure that'll be the case in North Texas as well.
When we come back, Jason King will join us. He'll discuss that game that comes up tonight. We've taken